From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation around the world. I'm George Norrie. My privilege to bring you Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, the magic of Elvis Presley. He would have been 74, or maybe he is 74. We'll find out. Panel of guests tonight headed up by our Gary Patterson. Health officials still investigating a salmonella outbreak that has reportedly sickened nearly 400 people in 42 states, as we reported last night, but they still don't know how the bacteria is spreading. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has not named all the states. Ohio officials say at least 50 people have been sickened by the salmonella since October. California officials report 51 cases as of last week. Michigan, 20 cases. 7 people there hospitalized, Illinois getting into it as well. Jim Berkland, our geologist, hit it right on the head this time. A moderate earthquake struck Thursday night in San Bernardino, California, with shaking felt from Los Angeles, 55 miles to the west and south to Orange County. A preliminary reading by the U.S. Geological Survey showed a 4.5 magnitude quake struck at 7:49 p.m., about a mile south of San Bernardino. That's a city of about 200,000 people. Initially, the USGS reported 4.9, then a 5. A strong earthquake shook Costa Rica, shattering windows, cracking walls, sending frightened residents running into the streets of the capital. The U.S. Geological Survey said the 6.1 magnitude trembler there was centered 22 miles northwest of the capital of San Jose. This is an active planet. President-elect Barack Obama warned of dire and long-lasting consequences if Congress doesn't pump unprecedented dollars into the national economy, making an urgent pitch for his mammoth spending proposal in his first speech since the election. In short, he says a bad situation could become dramatically worse if Washington doesn't go far enough addressing the spreading crisis. He said his fresh economic report showed an outlook growing increasingly grim. In a moment, Catherine Austin Fitch joins us as we talk about the Obama stimulus plan. Will it work? The head of Europe's biggest economy says that world leaders should be looking at the massive U.S. deficit and other economic imbalances, not just as problems caused by financial markets, as they debate now a new global order. Speaking at a conference in Paris on the future of capitalism, German Chancellor Angela Merkel singled out the American budget deficit and China's current account surplus as the difference between exports and imports as problems upsetting the global economy. Prosecutors say Bernard Madoff, he's the guy who created this disaster, had $173 million in signed checks in his office desk that he was ready to send out at the time of his arrest last month. The detail was provided in a court filing as prosecutors argued that Madoff should have his bail revoked and be sent to jail. They said the 100 checks were further evidence that he wanted to keep his assets away from burned investors. A legal challenge, by the way, that alleges Barack Obama is not a natural-born citizen and therefore constitutionally ineligible to be president of the United States, will follow now the Democrat into the Oval Office with a U.S. Supreme Court conference on this dispute set after the January 20th inauguration. The court's website has announced that a fourth case on the issue will be reviewed by the justices, but on January 23rd. A retired Utah postal worker was rescued after spending 5 days. Can you imagine this? 5 days trapped in a bathtub and surviving on tap water. 82 years old, he drank water from the spigot to stay alive and was discovered by a neighbor who hadn't seen him out walking his dog. The neighbor had his house key. The dog's okay, by the way. Japan, Sony Corporation, plans to launch the world's lightest 8-inch notebook PC, taking aim squarely at a rapidly growing market for ultra-portable personal computers. This will sell for $900 and will have all the same software that you find in full-size notebooks. Stonehenge was built as a dance venue for prehistoric raves, according to a university professor. Dr. Rupert Till, who happens to be a part-time DJ, carried out experiments, which he says showed that the 5,000-year-old stone circle is ideal for listening to trance music. Dr. Till, an expert in sound technology, says the stones have perfect acoustics for repetitive rhythms. The karaoke machine has been named in an English government survey as the most irritating invention. A poll of more than 2,500 adults found that nearly 25% of the Brits wish that it had never been invented. And I bet you may fall in that category, huh? Well, up next, Catherine Austin Fitz joins us. We're going to talk about the Obama stimulus plan. Will it work? She's next on Coast to Coast AM. Catherine Austin Fitz has served as managing director and member of the board of directors of the Wall Street investment bank Dillon Reed & Company. She also runs now Solari.com, and she's involved in some other incredible projects as well. And I guess we could call you a regular on Coast to Coast now, Catherine. Couldn't we?
That's a high compliment, so I'll take it.
Well, it's good to have you here. Now, all right, in about 11 days, Mr. Obama will be voted in as president of the United States, and he's got a pretty dramatic program afoot here. Is this stimulus package, this multi-billion dollar package that could cost as much as $775, maybe $800 billion, is this going to work?
Well, there's no way to tell. If you look at the package on his, you know, he and Biden have a transition website, change.gov, and if you look at the package, it's kind of a Christmas tree, George, of a lot of things, some good ideas, some I would say maybe not such good ideas. A lot of the different component parts are things that if they were well implemented might work well, but could easily turn into a complete boondoggle or not something so wonderful. And if you look at some of the reactions from the Senate initially and from Congress, I think you're seeing experienced senators who are concerned about those kinds of issues. So the interesting thing about it, though, is that there's no bigger picture. There's no vision. You know, it's kind of a Christmas tree of things that touch lots of different constituencies, but there's no real vision of what would make America great. And so, you know, what is the investment that would produce that kind of greatness?
It sounds like what they're going to do is just merely print up more money and try to float it into the system. Am I reading that correctly?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, if you look at the proposal, there's a series of ideas, some of which are very good. And if they were done, executed properly, it would be a good investment. In other words, a dollar of investment would get you a real return. So there are ways of making government investment that produce tremendous economic benefit and are very sound investment over the long term. But a lot of it comes down to how you do it, and it's got to be part of a bigger vision. So I'll give you, let me give you a picture of the typical American county right now. You'll often see a county, and let me talk about the rural areas where the farming is shrinking tremendously, and instead you have a very significant illegal drug business, and that's translated into huge government infrastructure of mental institutions that feed off of drug rehab, prisons that feed off of drug rehab, courts, and law enforcement, all of which is dependent on state and federal government grants. That's all dependent on borrowing. So you have an entire economy where nobody's really making anything productive, but there's a fantastic amount. I mean, literally, the war on drugs is one of the top industries in many counties in America. And so if you're going to have a vision of okay, well, how do we rebuild America, then the question is, how can you create an education system and opportunities for young people where they have something better to do than to deal drugs, go to prison, or go to war?
Catherine, does it appear to you that Barack Obama is taking a better approach than this current administration, or the same, or less?
Well, you don't know, because what we're looking at right now is packaging. And that's not a criticism. You know, you can't write the legislation. You've got to put up a concept piece and go from there. So what we're looking at is packaging, and the packaging is significantly more thoughtful to investment in human capital than the last administration. Now, if that investment is well done, it's terrific. If it's poorly done, it's worse than no investment at all. But behind this, George, what we're seeing is a lot of the same old, same old. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
The $700+ billion is, let's put that in comparison. In fiscal 1999, the Department of Defense was missing $2.3 trillion.
Okay? Missing, gone, missing, unaccounted for.
It was unaccounted for. It was missing $2.3 trillion, if I remember correctly. That all Americans, individuals, paid $1.6 trillion in taxes that year. So the Department of Defense was missing more than 100% of what Americans paid in taxes. Okay? The next year, which was fiscal 2000, the Department of Defense was missing $1.1 trillion. Now, let me explain what I mean by missing. It's called an undocumentable adjustment.
It's going to a black ops program, Catherine.
That's what you and I believe, but we can't prove that in a court of law. It's certainly going missing. Okay, so in 2 years, the Department of Defense was missing $3.3 trillion, which is about 4 to 5 times what Barack Obama is saying he wants to invest in America, right?
Right.
So we disinvested 5 times that amount in fiscal 99 and 2000. Now, in those years, in those 2 years, the chief financial officer slash controller of the Department of Defense was, do you remember who it was?
The controller? No, not at all.
This is a trivia question. The person responsible for $3.3 trillion missing going was a gentleman named William J. Lynn III. Okay?
Yeah.
Do you know where he is right now?
No.
He's a lobbyist for Raytheon, but he was just nominated by the president-elect to serve as the deputy secretary of defense.
Interesting. Interesting.
So,
when you say this money's missing, unaccounted for, was it appropriated and given to them?
No.
Or
did
they steal that?
Under the Constitution, you can't spend unless it's been appropriated, it's envisioned in an appropriation.
So how did they get it?
Well, that's the question. I mean, there are literally hundreds of theoretical ways that it could be done, but it's what I believe is between securities fraud and disappearing equipment and arsenals and weapons, basically, it was stolen.
Unbelievable.
So let's put that in perspective. We're returning to run defense. Somebody who has engineered the disinvestment of $3.3 trillion. And we're talking about reinvesting in America to the tune of $700 billion. So what's it going to be? Is it going to be another $3.3 trillion disinvestment, or is it going to be a $700 billion investment? We know the team that's been returned to the top economic advisors are the people who engineered the housing bubble. So what has been going on and what you've been talking about for years on Coast to Coast is there's a huge tithing system going on. You know, some people try and explain it as incompetence, which is a cover story, and some try and explain it as corruption, which ultimately is a cover story. We have trillions of dollars disappearing. I mean, now, George, we have the bailout money going to banks who refuse to report what they're going to do with the money.
Yeah, they're supposed to lend it out, aren't they?
You don't know. I mean, for all you know, it could be going to black ops, too.
Certainly. Absolutely.
A lot of the mortgage fraud that we're funding the losses of clearly went to, I believe went to black ops. So, I mean, the reality is, we are returning to government the team that engineered the housing bubble and trillions of dollars are missing, and money keeps going missing in Iraq. I mean, money was missing through the Clinton years. It's missing through the Bush years. And I think the most important issue that this country needs to know is where's the money and what's it going for?
And nobody is screaming about it, Catherine, other than someone like you.
Well, it's interesting. If you look at a lot of these proposals are tax credits and tax benefits. One is it a $500 a year credit to individuals? And then for businesses that hire, create a new full-time employee position, There's a $3,000 credit. You know, I have to tell you, George, whatever this $1 trillion tithe is of missing money or black ops or whatever it is, I would much rather know the truth of that than get a $500 individual tax credit and a $3,000 tax credit for everybody I hire in my business.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, $500 tax credit is not going to go far for people.
Right. If you don't have any income, if you don't have a job, if you don't have a business, if your business has been wiped out or you've lost your job, what's $500 going to do?
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
So.
Well, now, when do we all see this take effect? He gets inaugurated on January 20th. I assume the Supreme Court is going to rule that he can stay in office. That's a disaster if something happens in that point. What do we do?
You know, there's some things he's proposing that can happen very quickly. There are others that even if they're legislated quickly, could take a long time. So it really, it really depends. What he's going to have to do is get elected and get into a room with the congressional leadership and talk about, okay, what are we really going to do here? And this is a very important, this is sort of a, do you know what I mean by when I say a trim tab?
Yes.
Okay, this is a trim tab moment because you have America has basically whacked the planet with financial fraud and economic warfare.
But it's happening everywhere.
It's happening everywhere.
They're all doing it.
Right. But I have to tell you, on the financial fraud thing, America has delivered it an incredible whack. And the problem is if you're in Europe or Asia, and you're watching the way that money is being spent and the government's being run in America, it's disgusting, George. I mean, the waste is incredible. And, corruption is one thing, but this kind of waste is just, it takes your breath away. And we now have an administration that's being treated, is thought of as credible. They've appointed a lot of people with serious experience, and now the time is to sit down and do something that's serious. I mean, you can do something that's highly successful politically, but that is still a serious investment in infrastructure and competitive economic skills that could really not only lead America out, but lead the world out. And, so I think the world could use some real excellence here. America has the engineering talent and the brain power to do something excellent. And the question is, we have a sausage factory in Washington and Wall Street that's so used to just delivering pork. The question is, can it pull together and build a vision? And part of the problem is, what is this black hole, that all the money's going into that seems to be inspiring so many lies of why we're doing what we're doing? I mean, no one can come up with a credible plan because everybody's twisted into pretzel talk of lying about what we're really doing and why we're doing it.
And here's the question. Why are they doing it? Why are they lying about this? Why are they stealing so much money? What are they doing with it?
Well, it's interesting. Have you seen the documentary Phoenix Lights?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm sitting in my office in Hickory Valley, Tennessee, and a local farmer walks in and says, I've just been to Movie Gallery in Bolivar, Tennessee, and they had a documentary called Phoenix Lights, and I watched it. And the thing that's amazing was it was in Movie Gallery. and so I proceeded to get it and watch it. And you watch this huge UFO go across, really down the whole state of Arizona. And you look at that and you say, that would cost about $1 trillion to make, probably.
Well, if we made it, it could come from some other place, but that's true. But how do you make something like that and keep it hidden?
If we didn't make it, you could certainly understand why somebody who had that kind of equipment could extract a tithe of $2 trillion.
Absolutely, and keep it quiet.
Right. So it's funny. I don't know if you've ever been interested in the history of World War II and Winston Churchill, but Churchill used to tell the appeasers, tell the people. And we've reached a state of dysfunction on whatever is going on that we really need some truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need to tell the people whatever it is.
We may get it. We may get it, right?
I think we're getting closer. I think there's just so many more. The interesting thing in 2009... George, is going to be there's so many responsible, hardworking people in America and throughout the world that are watching this and realizing, you know, I've got to act. I've got to shift. I can't depend on these guys. We're on our own. And you're seeing a real gathering.
Oh, absolutely. Catherine, stay with us. We're going to take phone calls with you next when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, we begin our special report on Elvis Presley. Would have been 74 years old. Can't believe how time flies. When we come right back, we'll take your phone calls, though, on the Obama stimulus package with Catherine Austin Fitz on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're with Catherine Austin Fitz. You know, Catherine, the bottom line is we've got to get Americans back to work again.
Absolutely.
I mean, here we just had Alcoa announce 13,500 layoffs. There's attrition everywhere. Big companies are laying off more and more people or not hiring, putting freezes. That's the big problem. And see, those were people who had jobs. Those were people who were generally paying their bills. They right. weren't in foreclosure. We haven't even seen the problems that they're going to face because they don't have work now.
Right. What Americans need are skills, income, assets, and equity. They don't need more debt. They don't need to be able to borrow more money. And they don't need more tax credits.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to San Diego to get things started here. West of the Rockies, Drew, you're on with us. Go ahead, Drew.
Yes, hi, George. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Sure
and
thing.
Catherine, always a pleasure hearing you when you're a guest.
Hi, Drew.
You know, nobody's really mentioned this as I've listened to the different shows and so on, but as Obama's talking about his 3 million job creation over the next 3 years, we're bringing into this country approximately 1 million new immigrants per year. So that basically offsets any jobs that would be created, and we've therefore gone nowhere. And so I just wanted to mention that as an issue that we need to deal with. And if I may quickly add one more point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is, I was talking to your screener, and, you know, the easiest way, I say quote-unquote easy, the easy way to shut this whole mess down of irresponsible government spending is to stop paying taxes. But then again, that's an issue of it's either everybody's on board or nobody's on board.
And that's a good point, Drew, because we see what happens to people who protest, and most of them end up losing in court. A few of them win, but it's all or none, I think. Catherine, what do you think of that, the taxation system?
I think there are some more responsible ways to address taxation, which we could see start to happen. One is I had proposed during the Bush administration that we institute something called jumbo waivers, which means, let's say you're sending, in a particular county, you're sending $1 billion in taxes to Washington and you're getting back $1 billion of spending. And you say, look, we'll make a deal we're getting back the billion, but it's in these categories. Let us be much more flexible in where we spend it and how we spend it as long as we optimize and improve the sort of economic health of the place and give us wide latitude to re-engineer locally. And you could get tremendous. I mean, if you look at what Obama's talking about spending the $700 billion on, if he just allowed that kind of re-engineering, you could get tremendous benefit. One way to get the leverage to do that is to say, look, you refuse to comply with the laws of audited financial statements. You're out of compliance. There's $4 trillion missing. We're going to do the equivalent of a citizen seizure and assert the common law right of offset. We're going to escrow the money, send you a check to handle the national debt, but because your operation is not responsible, we're going to take that money, put it in escrow, and we'll just use it to spend here locally, so don't bother to send us money for that.
I think people have lost confidence in government, Catherine, to the point now where we've also lost trust with them. I don't trust them with our money. You definitely have seen what happened with the Madoff situation with a private person controlling billions of dollars of assets. I mean, there's rampant fraud everywhere.
Well, but that's why I think there is a possibility, if you scale down to a county level, there is a possibility in places where you have cohorts of a lot of very responsible people to take prudent steps to make sure that the money doesn't go down a black hole. And, you know, but to do that, you're going to have to bring together a lot of different people in a place, and you're going to have to work through the law and the courts And, you know, so it's not going to be a simple process, but it could happen.
Let's go to Dayton, Ohio. First-time caller. Sam, you're up with us. Hi, Sam.
Hey, how you doing, George? It's a pleasure to finally talk to you.
Glad you got through.
Same to you, Catherine.
Hey, Sam.
Hi. Hey, you were mentioning before about this, you know, $500 from Obama wouldn't be enough to really do anything with. Is there a level of money that would be enough to do something with as far as turning around the economy from the taxpayer perspective, from the individual?
Well, individual check, let's say, Catherine. How much? 10 grand to each person? What?
Well, let me give you an example. If you simply extinguished all student loan debt, that would be a tremendous relief. They're going forward with lots of different reforms to allow the renegotiation of mortgages to a much more credible level. But I go back to people need jobs and income, not a tax credit. So I don't think there's any amount of tax credit you can give that will do much in the sense that it's not sustainable. You know, it would have to be, if I have $5,000 of income and I expect that every year for the next 20 years, that's worth a lot more than a huge tax credit this year. What they've got is they've got several proposals to encourage investment in small business. And right now, the opportunity to create the most jobs is in small business. And so if there's a real effort to promote no capital gains on investment and startup and green businesses and a series of other things that could create a lot of jobs quickly, that's where you're going to get the benefit. So I would tend to encourage that as well as the tax credits.
So what do you think the banks are going to be doing with all this money we already gave?
Well, that's a good question. But again, I go back, we don't need more debt.
Yeah.
People need skills, they need income, they need assets, they need equity. We need our equity. The plan I designed in the mid-90s that was rejected in Washington was something that would help people's equity go up, which means we'd all have the assets we needed to deal with these kinds of problems and situations. But the last thing we need is more debt.
Because they gave these banks, obviously, hundreds of billions, and GM and Chrysler can't get a lousy $20 billion. I don't quite understand that, since they're, you know, a major industry of the country. Naturally.
Well, part of it depends on what is the black hole at the banks they're trying to cover up, and the honest truth is we don't know where that money's going, Sam.
Hmm.
I mean, we don't. The banks have said they're not going to report, and Treasury's not going to report. So now, to give you a sense of the Orwellian nature of this, in the bottom in the detail in Obama's plan, he's proposing to put a cap on credit card interest rates of 36%, which means banks can borrow from the Fed at 0% or get bailouts from the Treasury and turn around and lend the money back to us at 36%.
That's huge.
It's do you know something? It's stupefying. It's
stupefying.
And this is coming, you know, from Obama. And I'm assuming that's because politically that's the best they think they can get done.
Well, how do you like my idea of an automobile voucher for an American-made car, or primarily American-made, that's put on a list? Let's say we have Chevys and Dodge trucks and, you know, Ford products. And there's a special list and you get a voucher to use it on a car. What do you think? Come on, that's a great idea.
It depends on, you know, if the car is a car that has a much smaller environmental footprint than the ones we have now.
Yeah, I mean, sure, I'm sure we could fudge that and play with it a little bit. You know, we could say you got to have a certain amount of mileage, and that car will be on the list too. You know, that kind of thing. But American-made with a higher gas mileage car, let's say. And but here's a voucher for $20,000.
Well, I'll tell you what I'd much rather have, George, is, you know, during World War II, Eleanor Roosevelt asked everybody to start a garden, and within several years, 40% of the produce in America was grown in people's backyards.
I know you're into that, and I know that you're a proponent, and, you know, I love you for that, but I think you know, to increase practicality, to get the automobile industry really rolling so they don't have to come back for loans
anymore.
Well,
if they're willing to make, you know, excellent cars that have a much smaller environmental footprint, I think that's great. I'd love to see the trains revitalized. And yeah. I can think of a ton of infrastructure, you know, the cleaning up of our waterways, of the investment in the parks and revitalizing the railroads. There's great infrastructure that could be done. There's a whole bunch of mass transit in the cities that could be done, and on and on and on. So there's massive amounts of infrastructure. You know, there's rebuilding the topsoil. I could go, you know, there's beautiful public works you could do. So there's a tremendous amount we could do in infrastructure, and we have the brains and the engineering talent both in the country and North America to do it. So
I think what will be intriguing is to watch what happens over the next year or two with this kind of administrative change. I want to see if they can pull this off. I want to see if they can pull us out of this mess. Gerald Celente thinks 2009 is going to be a disaster.
It has that possibility. It has that possibility because, you know, I've told you this before. I had a great pastor in Washington who used to say, if we can face it, God can fix it. We haven't faced things yet.
No.
And I just think there needs to be a process where we face things sufficient that the giant intelligence can get unleashed.
Let's go next, east of the Rockies, Dan in Louisville, Kentucky. Hey, Dan.
Oh, hello, George and Marie. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Dan.
It's hello. I sort of am going to say something very similar to Drew in San Diego, the caller before Sam in Dayton, and that is that there is massive immigration, but on the part of using engineering talent, since Barack Obama has openly stated repeatedly that he's a globalist, since our graduate schools are, well, I'd say full of these people from foreign countries, and many of them have already been granted work visas here, it's entirely possible on that front that we may be betrayed as well. Now, I call it betrayal. I don't know. Maybe this is a necessary aspect of economics that in order to perpetuate a capitalistic system, we need to have this sort of consolidation of wealth. But as far as and of course, the buildup of the infrastructure on a global scale to countries that didn't previously have it, by, in effect, blowing out our industry and moving it over to foreign countries where they can exploit the differences in the standard of living. But I mean, can you speak to that?
All the things you're describing don't increase wealth.
If they are, then they need to be ousted. But if they're not, if this is a necessary cycle, I don't know. Can you speak to the idea that this is economic warfare?
Well, sure. What we're watching is the centralization of wealth. And part of the reason it's happening is they can do it. But it shrinks total wealth. It consolidates it into a small number of hands. What you're watching in the economy is the wealth destruction you get when you centralize. And the more you centralize, the more fragile and controlled the system becomes, the less vitality, the less entrepreneurship, the less free flow of capital. And so you're watching the destruction of the economy by the centralization process and by economic warfare having a free rein with dirty tricks and violence. So, and that's why it's hard to imagine how tax credits or, $700 billion of stimulus spending can make up for the, you know, essentially lawlessness. I mean, $500 in tax credit cannot protect me from the sheriff of Nottingham. What I need is a real sheriff.
Las Vegas we go. Hey, Matt, take it away.
Hey, how's it going there, George? Catherine, it's nice to be able to speak to you this evening. Hey, I was kind of curious here. You mentioned about, $3.4 trillion has been missing from the DOD coffers. Is that correct? Yeah, how did you make that determination? Is there some way or something in, you know, maybe in the public record that maybe ordinary citizens can be able to...
Sure, if you go to my blog, I describe the missing money I put up a little post today on Lynn's nomination.
How does he find your blog, Catherine?
That's at solari.com/blog, solari.com/blog. And it links to a page where we've collected articles on the missing money, including the Inspector General reports at DOD, which report on the $1.1 trillion and the $2.3 trillion. In fact, the day before 9/11, Donald Rumsfeld confessed to the $2.3 trillion missing.
That is amazing.
And if you go to that link on our page, it's you'll find countless articles about all this stuff. I ranted about it for years.
Tom in west of the Rockies, you're up. Hey, Tom.
Hi, George. Catherine, thanks. I have two quick questions. One is, could you explain the multiplier effect of a well-spent tax dollar? And my main question is, we can't lose our compassion, and I'm in San Diego, and I'd like to hear what you think about the effect of our economy on south of the border, Tijuana, and, you know, the first 100 miles south of the border in California and Texas, because we're really hurting them at the same time without our tourist dollars and with their workers now going home and not sending their money.
Yeah, the multiplier effect of a good investment, well, think of it as if you put your money into a company that makes a wonderful product and grows, and so you put in a dollar, and 3 years later you buy the stock for a dollar, and the stock is worth $3 because the value of the company has gone up because it's making a product or service that's useful. It's the same with government. You don't get a dividend the way you would with a private company. But, for example, Peter Drucker, who was sort of the management guru, said that the single greatest investment in America in the 20th century by government was the GI Bill, because we took a whole generation of GIs coming back from World War II and sent them to college and got them an education that made the economy much more productive over the long run. So we spent money to send them to college, and as a result, we had a much more vibrant economy as a result of that investment in their human capital. So what you're looking for in a well-designed infrastructure and investment in America program is something that will really create things that give leverage. So I put a dollar into great education, and over a 20 or 30-year period, I get a much more productive, much more entrepreneurial workforce and you know, business starter group. I put a dollar into a train system that will deliver freight at a lower cost and make it much easier for people to travel around. And as a result, by connecting up a series of cities, I get much more entrepreneurial activity within that region. I put a dollar into roads that make for much higher quality travel, same thing. So there are numerous infrastructure investments. Say that one of the things Obama's focused on is this alternative energy that will bring the cost of energy down to a wide variety of Americans' business, or weatherizing homes to reduce the cost of heating, et cetera. So all these things, if they're properly done and well done, can create a multiplier effect, which would be very positive.
Catherine, look into your crystal ball. First quarter of 2009, with 10 being the best quarter we could ever have, what number would you give it?
I'd give it a 2.
That's not a lot. Catherine, thanks for being on the program. Catherine Austin Fitz, up next, our Elvis Presley special on Coast to Coast AM.